Morning Show with Charlie James.
10 minutes past 7 o'clock on your Wednesday morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. That's 556-1250. So last night, President Trump gave a speech in there in Phoenix, and there were about, some people say, up to 7,000 people there. They were protesting his stance on illegal immigration. All right, illegal immigration. We're not talking about the legal stuff. We're talking about illegal immigration. But the folks on the left, they just want anybody and everybody to be able to walk right across the border. No impediment whatsoever. Just come on in. Doors open. Have at it. Sit down. See what's in the fridge. Yeah. Yeah, you can have the remote. Watch whatever you want. Yes, you can sit in our recliner. That's fine. So what is it like when you actually go to another country to try to be a legal immigrant? What do you have to go through? Well, I just told you a couple of minutes ago that Trudeau up there in Canada said that Canada is an opening and welcoming society. But let me be clear. This is Trudeau talking. We are a country of laws. Entering Canada irregularly is not an advantage. There are rigorous immigration and custom rules that will be followed, make no mistake. Now, I told you before that 100 people walked across the border there in Canada in July, and 3,100 people were arrested in July. But I don't see anybody throwing bottles full of urine or bottles full of chemicals or anybody hitting anybody over the head with a bicycle lockup in Canada. So there was this couple here in Charleston, the Vargases, Robin and Heather Vargas. They lived over in West Ashley. They want to be living in Canada, about 1,620 miles away in Halifax, Nova Scotia. They want to do that by the end of the year as legal Canadian residents. So what did they have to go through? They said they had to pass their criminal background check. Yep, had to have a background check. They showed proof of the necessary amount of cash needed in a bank account. That's a minimum of $11,500. They passed their English proficiency exam and supplied education records for to Canadian authorities. They even visited Canada up there to have their housing picked out along with some job prospects. Now, Heather Vargas said, "I love my country, but it's heading in a direction that we're not comfortable with." One of those things that they were not comfortable with was the anti-immigration stance of President Trump. So, Ms. Vargas, Mr. and Mrs. Vargas, what you had to go through to get up to Canada to try to be legal Canadian citizens, by the way, they're not giving up their U.S. citizenship, to be in Canada legally, that's the only thing anybody in this country is asking for others to do when they come here. That's it. That's all we want. What you had to go through, we want people to have to go through here when they want to come into this country. We would love to have for everyone to have a criminal background check. We would love for everyone to have a little bit of cash when they show up so they don't have to go on the public dole. We would love for them to have an English proficiency exam. That would be fantastic. We would love for them to have already procured housing and maybe even a job prospect. So everything the Vargases went through is all we're asking. But I don't know. I'm not seeing a whole lot of griping and complaining by the Vargases about what they had to go through when they had to go to Canada or when they chose to go to Canada. I don't even know if they're up there yet. That's the only thing we're asking, Vargases. And you want to get up there and go to Canada, that's fine. Go ahead. I don't know why you would want to unless you're just particularly big hockey fans. But they had to go through the things to get into Canada. That's the only thing we're asking for people to do to get into this country. I think it's just Trump. I really do. I think it is just Trump. The fact that Trump wants you to go through all of this stuff. Not the fact that Trudeau wants you to go through this stuff because, you know, he's a good-looking guy. Oh, by the way, I checked out Mrs. Vargas's Facebook page. Apparently, she's a big fan of Trudeau. Big fan of Trudeau. Mr. Vargas might want to be a little concerned if she's posting all these pictures of Trudeau up there in Canada. I'd be a little concerned about my bride.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
You think maybe we may have overreacted to the eclipse a little bit? Just a touch?
Yeah, really.
Maybe, you know, the city offices closing down, and they closed the bridge down, and everything was closed down, and we were having all the... You would have thought it was a big Category 4 hurricane going to hit Charleston the way they were acting with the eclipse, but it was just, it was the eclipse, and it was just, it was okay. And a lot of people, I didn't even know an uptick. I saw a little bit of an uptick downtown because people were just showing up. However, it was also move-in weekend there in Charleston, you know, as everybody was getting ready for the first day of class there in, at the College of Charleston. But, I think maybe we just kind of overreacted a little bit, maybe. Running around. So, I don't know. We'll talk a little bit more of this coming up. Right now, let's go to Hanahan, talk to Steve this morning. Steve, how are you? I almost forgot how to work the phone. I hadn't been here in a couple days. What's up,
you've
man?
You've got to learn in a hurry.
I was like, what the heck? I almost, all right, which button do I push? How are you, Steve?
Yeah. Doing well.
Good, yeah, good.
We didn't get the eclipse in Hanahan either, but you know that. But anyway, you talked about the paid protester
yeah.
a little while ago.
Yeah,
that's not a myth. Now it may be a myth that on certain levels, depending on.
I know it's not a myth. I don't know if this particular ad that I was looking was valid or not.
But let me tell you, I've tried to find out about this kind of stuff for a long, long time, and I never called about it before. But I'll tell you this, and this is the truth. You know, there was a claim that George Soros was funding a lot of this stuff.
Right.
He says, no, I'm not. He says, but here's the deal. George Soros founded an institute back in 1993 called the Open Society Institute. It's now called the Open Society Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big progressive nonprofit thing. It's a grant-making network, and he's the big guy. Well, this grant-making network, this Open Society Foundation, they're the people who go out and fund these protests, and they directly tie them back to the Ferguson riots.
Right.
And he says, well, I can't oversee everybody they give money to, you know?
Right, so yeah, it's not, you know, I'm hands off. I'm hands off of this stuff.
So they're trying to take Trump down any way they can, and they're pouring millions of dollars into it. It's a fact. You can't get around it. But they're claiming no foul from me. I just can't control all that.
Yeah, plausible deniability.
Yeah, I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere. I mean, just think, if you got paid protesters, who's footing the bill?
They were paying
a bunch of money.
They were paying $50 an hour
for a
4-hour event. So we're talking about $400. And if you were looking at like 7,000 protesters there, we're talking about $280,000.
Yeah, so you got to have somebody really heck bent on taking Trump down for that, you know, to do that kind of
thing.
I mean, it's big money, and it's got to come from somewhere. I mean, just follow the money.
That's right. That's right. All right, buddy. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. And again, these people there, and they were trying to protest President Trump's immigration policy. And I just read to you what you have to do to get into Canada. Background check. Make sure you got a minimum amount of money in your bank account. You got to have an English proficiency exam. You got to, you know, all of this stuff you have to go through. That's all we're asking. All we are asking. You want us to be like Canada? Okay. Let's do that. Let's be like Canada. Let's be like Canada. Let's arrest people when they cross the border illegally. I like that. That's a good plan. And let's make sure you can speak English when you come into this country. Okay, I'm all for this Canada thing now. And let's you know, a background check. All right, let's go. We're just ticking the boxes as we go. In this case, and in this instance, I wouldn't mind a bit for us to be a lot like Canada. Not one little bitty bit. So, I don't know. But it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about his policies. It's not about immigration. It's not about Charlottesville. It's not about Russia. It's not about North Korea. It's about Trump.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, they're at it again. NFL players taking a knee during the national anthem. This time it is the Cleveland Brown. About a dozen of them took a knee on Monday during the national anthem. Well, that's really, really nice. Watching these folks do that at the National Football League. What nation do you think was referenced there in the word national? I think, yeah, it would be the United States. Gary is over in Mount Pleasant. How are you, Gary?
Hey, Charlie.
What's up, buddy?
Let me tell you something. I survived the eclipse.
Perfect.
I can't wait to 2052 till it comes back.
I don't know, man. We're going to have to shut down everything one more time. 2052.
Yeah, really. That what happened in Cleveland Sunday kicked me off beyond belief.
Yeah.
I can't believe these self-serving butts. You know, they're paid hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars.
Right.
And they have no respect for the country that allows them that opportunity.
Right.
And I tell you what I did. I called DirecTV, which I have been a subscriber for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I canceled NFL Sunday ticket.
You said you were done. You're not going to be checking out the NFL anymore.
I'm not going to pay them $300 a year to watch that crap.
Right.
I'm just not going to do it. And I challenge everybody that's in the earshot of your show to do the same thing. Because the only way we're going to stop this is to hurt the owners in their wallet.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, that's it. I mean, that if you stop going to the games, if you stop, and here's the thing, you're not paid to play a game. All right. You're paid to put butts in seats. That's your job if you play for the NFL. And if people aren't going to the games, guess what? You got to go.
That's right.
Now, Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys said, listen, if you're going to take a knee during the national anthem, if you're not going to respect the national anthem, you're off the team. And I like that attitude.
Mm-hmm. I think Arthur Blank's done the same thing with the Falcons.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, that would be good.
I don't know if the owners of the Panthers have done the same thing, but I don't think the Southern teams will put up with it.
Well, they shouldn't put. Nobody should put up with it. Nobody. Gary, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you very much. Glad you survived the eclipse. But it's just complete and total disrespect. And that is what I've been saying this. I've been saying this for the past 20 years now, how we are completely losing respect. We're losing respect for each other. We're losing respect for our traditions. We're losing respect for this country. This country, which offers you, every single one of you, the most advantages of anybody in the world. You don't have respect for. And one of the things is, when you start talking about the culture of the athlete, you really, like it or not, you have some special thing. If you're a good athlete, you get treated a little bit differently in this country than anybody else. I mean, if you are a college student and you're not quite making the grade there, they don't give you a special tutor to come in and make sure you pass the test. But the athletes, they get that. They go, well, yeah, we have people that help our athletes pass these tests and pass these classes. You don't get to just kind of coast through high school or college. You don't get to do that as an average person. But as an athlete, oh, boy, then you get all kinds of special privileges. Reed is over in Mount Pleasant. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, Charlie, did you ever notice at work how the people that try to tell you how to do your job are the ones that are the worst at theirs?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going on there, too. I mean, Cleveland, horrible at football.
Right.
And they're a horrible football team. And so they can't focus on football and win. They have to do that kind of stuff to get attention. And the same thing Kaepernick did.
Right.
He was a horrible quarterback.
Awful.
He was slipping. And part of it was he wasn't focusing on his job.
Yeah, if Kaepernick had been a top-tier quarterback, he could have done what he did. It could have taken a knee during the national anthem, and the 49ers would have never let him go.
But you know what? That's almost not the point. The point is, if he was, in order to be a top-tier quarterback, you have to be focused on being a top-tier quarterback.
Right.
And not all that other crap.
Yeah.
That's his problem, and that's what I think some of these owners see, too, is like, hey, we, we're getting our locker rooms taken over by politics, and the same thing is happening in a lot of walks of life right now.
Yeah, once you...
That was what was nice about the eclipse. It was about the one thing that nobody could figure out how to put a spin on, you know?
Well, they did. Somebody actually referred to the eclipse as being racist. I'll tell you about that in a minute, Reed. I appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Will. He's over on Daniel Island. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Charlie. I just wanted to make one more comment on what you were talking on the previous caller about. You've got some coaches like Jerry Jones, who's saying that his players are going to stand or else they're not going to play for him.
Right.
I think it needs to come from the commissioners also, be consistent across the league. On Sunday, you're working for us. You can do this on your own time,
right?
But not on Sunday. That's what I think.
But do you think the NFL commissioner, do you think he's really going to stand up and say anything about it?
No, the guy's hated enough.
If they're gonna
get people to quit turning off the cable, the previous caller.
Once they start getting a downturn in viewership, that's why I don't watch the NFL. I really don't. I haven't seen an NFL game I've been in about 5 years. I watched a little bit of the Super Bowl this past year, but that was about it. Paul, I appreciate you calling in. We've got a lot of folks on hold here. Paul is in Somerville. How are you, Paul?
Top of the morning to you. All these fellas taking a knee for the flag of the country they were brought up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand the frustration because there is racism in America, but that doesn't mean America is racist.
Right, yeah.
Any more than Michael Vick being a dog-molesting jerk means that all the black players in the NFL are similar dog-molesting jerks.
Right.
It doesn't follow. Okay, you know what? All you got to do is turn on any news show in the morning here, and every morning there's traffic on the roads, but there's not much because it's 5:30. Let's see. And yeah, there was a shooting in North Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Some African-American guys were involved. Does that mean every African-American man in North Charleston is a gunman?
No.
No, it doesn't. This is ridiculous. You know, if you want to be against policies, it's one thing. You know, not for nothing. Not for nothing. You know, every male member of my family except me was in the armed forces, and every single one of them served with African-American soldiers who had the American flag patch on their uniform.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're fools for wearing it? Really?
No, no, not at all. I mean, and that's the thing. I want to know what they're protesting.
They're actually protecting the country while these guys get to play a game, and they've played a lot more. There are people in the armed forces who are poor enough to qualify for food stamps.
Yeah.
They're protecting the country.
That's right. That's right. They're putting their lives on the line, and you are sacrificing, and you're taking a knee during the national anthem. Real quick, let's go to Phil in Somerville. How are you, Phil?
Charlie, I'm wonderful. How about you?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, another thing that you can observe in this, not only do they get tutored in order to pass subjects like urban studies, basket weaving, racial impact on particular groups of society today and whatnot. And you can hear this in the rhetoric that they spout when somebody actually gets a microphone in front of these guys. And it's not just the black players, it's the white players too. They're clearly, in many cases, and again, let's not overgeneralize because there are some very bright people in the NFL.
Sure there are.
But certainly not all of them are particularly bright, and a lot of them are particularly not bright.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the a lot of them do fall into the dumb jock category.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Boy, did we do the whole tourist thing this past weekend. Had a couple days off, had friends up from St. Petersburg, Florida. You have to point that out because people might think they were from St. Petersburg, Russia, and they might say I was in collusion with the Russians. No, these were fine folks in from the Tampa, St. Pete area, and they came into town, and we did the whole tourist thing. We really did. Boy, I tell you what, it was a lot of fun this weekend as we went down to, I'm glad Sheila documented this. We took a ride, Palmetto Carriage Ride. Palmetto Carriage Works. We appreciate that. Had Charlie James the horse as our steed for the day. Matt was our tour guide. He was fantastic. So we appreciate that. That was a lot of fun. We went to Justine's Kitchen. I'd never been there before. That was fantastic. Went down to the city market. We saw a show at the Black Fedora. I performed in a show at the Black Fedora. We headed over to Tommy Condon's. We went to Burbage's for some hot dogs. went down to Colonial Lake. We had some local shrimp. We went to Magnolia's, went to Bar Normandy, went down to Waterfront Park, and we even went out to Fort Sumter. Wanted to go out to Fort Sumter before they tear it down because, you know, that's coming, right? They're going to be protesting. I don't know how they're going to protest out there at Fort Sumter, but you know they will. There might be kayaking out. It'd be a long way to kayak, but you know they're going to be doing that soon. They've already taken down. You couldn't even find a Confederate flag there at Fort Sumter. You'd have to go into the gift shop where they had to, you know, you got to go and you go, got any Confederate flags? Oh. Come to the back, sir. We have a special room. We keep them hidden from view so that no one would be offended. But please come back here. And then they have to go. There's a little keypad. Beep, boop, beep, 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 boop. And then you got to give a retina scan, and it opens the door. And then you go back. And then they got the Confederate flags back there because we don't want anybody to be offended by any, you know, history and stuff like that. So I went there to Fort Sumter. It was kind of interesting to see as we were walking around. I was thinking, you know, there are more people on this tour of Fort Sumter than actually manned Fort Sumter. It was only like 85 people. There at Fort Sumter, and that was fully staffed. And a lot of times they weren't fully staffed. So I think these days, and then you sit there and you go, wow, this, you know, I could probably storm this thing with a squirt gun. But times have changed, haven't they? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. But it was a fun time to just sit back and be a bit of a tourist here in our own town. If you get the chance to do that, I highly recommend it. It is a lot of fun. And then, of course, on Monday, we were out there watching the eclipse, watching the clouds. We were cloud watching. We did a whole day of cloud watching there in the front yard. As we did get to see it before and after, but during totality, it was like cloud cover, cloud cover, cloud cover. But still, it was neat when it got very dark, and it got a lot. Now, one thing that I noticed is how bright it was when there was just a little sliver of sun, just a little, even the tiniest sliver of sun. It was still bright outside. That dang sun must be bright. Doggone. I think it burns at 5,770-something degrees. That's pretty hot. So, but then when we got totally dark, that was really neat. I didn't notice anything weird going on, I guess because of the cloud cover, but I did notice the birds. There was this one, I think it was a quail. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a dove. On a telephone wire, that when we went into totality, the dove was there before totality, went into totality, and he was gone, and then after totality, he came back. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, what's this thing? What's this? I'm like, man, that was like I didn't even sleep. What the heck? Went to bed, and all of a sudden, it's time to get back up. But I didn't notice anything weird. I think maybe we overreacted a little bit. And I don't, you know, I was thinking about this morning. And we'll talk about this coming up in just a few minutes. Isn't that really how much the insurance companies had to say about how we reacted to the eclipse? You think maybe the insurance company might have had a little bit to say about what happened?
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
So yesterday morning, I woke up. Went downstairs, was fixing my coffee, and I hear beep, 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 beep. Now, where I live, that can only mean one thing. Somebody's getting towed. Somebody's getting towed. Not only was somebody getting towed, they had 5 tow trucks out on my street. They were cleaning house yesterday. They must have made a ton of money yesterday off towing cars. I think they were trying to do some street sweeping and some tree trimming and stuff like that. But a lot of folks were getting towed yesterday, and I was thinking, man, welcome to the College of Charleston. Hey, your first big bill that you're going to be sending mommy and daddy is for getting your car out of the impound lot from the city of Charleston. But they were really cleaning house. Different world now for a lot of these kids that are here in Charleston. I was looking up some stuff. This is kind of interesting. The class that is coming in right now, the freshmen at the College of Charleston right now, have barely ever known a phone other than a smartphone. The vast majority of them have grown up and never had a landline. Did you know that? The majority of them have never used a floppy disk and probably never bought CDs. They've never known a world where they couldn't order what they needed from Amazon. How about that? And you get it in 2 days thanks to Amazon Prime. They've never known a world without Pokemon. That's right. There have always been blogs on the internet for them to read. They've only known Justin Timberlake as a solo artist. Y'all remember that NSYNC? Way back then? Okay. And they've only experienced Bill Clinton as Hillary's husband, not as president. So there are also advantages, I guess, to that, too. So, but boy, I tell you what, it's absolutely amazing when you go back and you look at what these kids, oh, these kids today, the mindset. Now, Beloit College puts out this mindset list every year. I'll give you a couple of more. Zappos has always meant shoes on the internet. Amazon always invited customers to follow the arrow from A to Z. Let's see, what else happened? There's never been a Coliseum in New York, but there's always been a London Eye on the Thames. They entered, by the time they entered school, laptops were outselling desktops. It's amazing what they've gone through. And a movie scene, this is the truth right here. A movie scene for these kids that lasts longer than 2 minutes is an eternity. They cannot sit down and watch a classic movie because it just takes, you sit them down watching Citizen Kane, they're going to be on their phone typing away. This is OMG, this is the most boring movie ever made. Get me out of here, BRB. So, different world for these college students coming in, but welcome all you students here to Charleston, and of course, all of you who got your cars towed yesterday. That's your first lesson.
1250 WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is 8:22 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And right now, we got a little Darlington trivia for you. Now, if you know our Darlington trivia question, you're going to win a pair of tickets to the Xfinity race on the 2nd of September out at Darlington. And you're going to be qualified to win a family experience prize pack that includes 4-pack of tickets to qualifying, the Xfinity race, the pre-race concert, the Bojangles Southern 500, and you're going to get delicious tailgate meals from Bojangles. How about that? So give me a call right now. 556-1250 is the number. That's 556-1250. I will ask you a simple little trivia question about Darlington. And if you can answer that, then you are the big winner to the Xfinity race. And of course, also you're going to be qualified for the big, big package there. Again, that's 556-1250, 556-1250. All right, so also coming up in just a second, you're not going to believe, we're talking about a little bit about sports here, you're not going to believe what they are doing in Virginia. We'll have that coming up next. But right now, we got to get a possible winner here for our Bojangles Southern 500 trivia question. Let's go to the phones and say, good morning, who is this?
James.
All right, James, you ready to answer this trivia question about Darlington?
Sure.
All right, who has won at Darlington more times than anyone else? David Pearson, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, or Richard Petty? David.
Dale Earnhardt.
Not Dale Earnhardt. No, no, good guess. Thank you very much. We'll go to the next caller. Hey, who's this?
This is Rip.
All right, buddy. Who has won at Darlington more than anyone else? David Pearson, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, or Richard Petty?
Dale Earnhardt.
Not Dale Earnhardt. No, good guess, though. Let's go to our next caller. Hey, who's this?
This is Billy.
All right, Billy. The most wins at Darlington. David Pearson, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, or Richard Petty?
Pearson.
David Pearson. You are exactly right. Yeah, he's known as the Darling of Darlington. He's won there 10 times. Now, Dale Earnhardt came in at number 2 with 9 wins. And congratulations, buddy. Good job. You just won those Xfinity race tickets. And now you are qualified for that entire racing weekend out at Darlington. All right?
Great.
Sounds good. I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you. And I think we're going to do this again tomorrow, too. We got some more trivia questions to give away for you. I got a bunch of trivia questions about Darlington. In fact, one question that I'll give to you is going to be one that I actually witnessed while I was at Darlington. I was there when it happened. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. You're going to think this is a story that came out of The Onion or some parody site like that, some comedy site. This is what you're going to think of. ESPN has pulled an announcer from broadcasting the University of Virginia football games. You want to know why? Want to know why this announcer is not going to be calling the University of Virginia football games this year? You ready? Because his name is Robert Lee. It's not Robert E. Lee. It's just Robert Lee. So they are not allowing this announcer, who is, by the way, Asian. So ESPN has pulled Asian American announcer Robert Lee from Virginia football games because he shares the same name as Robert E. Lee. Yes. Now, here is a statement from ESPN. We collectively made the decision with Robert to switch games as the tragic events in Charlottesville were unfolding. Really? Is that what you thought about? While these tragic events were unfolding, that's what you were thinking about? Oh, wait. Hey, wait a minute. Don't we have an announcer up there in Virginia named Robert Lee? Oh, my God. We can't allow that guy on the air. He said, because of the coincidence of his name, in that moment it felt right to all parties. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue. It did not become an issue. Nobody had even heard of Robert Lee calling the University of Virginia football games for ESPN until ESPN brought it up. You made it an issue, ESPN. This is why you are leaking viewers like a sieve. This is why people are bailing out and no longer watching your network, because basically you're the sports edition of CNN. Period.
Could the guy change his name for the ball game? I mean, he's missing out on a job.
I know.
Call himself U.S. Grant.
Yeah. It's not. And now let's go down to the sidelines and talk to Nathan Bedford Forrest. Let's talk to him, the leader. Not the same one that founded the KKK. No, he's not. He's a different one. It's 150 years later after the fact. I don't think anybody would have mistaken Robert Lee, an Asian American man, for being the leader of Confederate Army. I don't think that was a problem there. So ESPN made this a big deal, and they continue to make it a big deal. It's unbelievable. It really, really is nuts. That's where we are in this country right now. We have lost our collective minds, where a guy named Robert Lee, call him Bob Lee. What if it was Bob Lee? Let's go to Bob Lee of the booth. Nobody would have noticed. But now that you made it an issue, poor guy. I mean, don't you feel bad for Robert Lee? This guy's worked his tail off his entire life because, hey, he's a minority. You don't really look at Asians, you know, and I know this is stereotypical, but how many Asian sportscasters are there right now? They're not a lot. This is just, I mean, I would imagine just a handful.
And they don't say their names often,
no,
do they? The
no.
Action's on the field.
Yeah.
They're calling the game.
They might. They might put up a little graphic while they show them on television. But I mean, come on, how often is that?
Unbelievable.
So ESPN making the very politically correct move to replace an Asian man in the booth. Oh, I think really Asian people. You need better spokespeople out there.
Show with Charlie James.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Katie Bloomquist from Going Places. She's got a... Now, she was the young lady that got together and raised enough money to buy more than 600 Lowcountry students bicycles. And we all remember that. It was a fantastic story. Talked to her on the phone here on the show. I think she was headed into school that day as she was talking to us about it. Well, she's going to be expanding that. We're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes about that. It's a great program that she's got there. Katie Bloomquist from Going Places. You'll be on in just a few minutes. And just a moment ago, I told you about that sports announcer Robert Lee, who was pulled from the University of Virginia football games because his name is Robert Lee. Okay, you kind of, well, and you might have thought, well, that's just ridiculous, Charlie. That's absolutely ridiculous. No. Wait a minute. Well, hold on. It gets worse. It's now I've got something even more ridiculous. We've taken ridiculous, and now we're going to, as Emeril Lagasse said, we're going to crank it up a notch. Bam. It's now affecting the University of Southern California. Yeah, that USC. Now, you know the mascot, the Trojan, that comes in and runs around when the USC Trojans score a touchdown or kick a field goal, you know, ride up and down. It's the mascot there at the University of Southern California. Well, he rides in on a white steed. There he is, the Trojan on a white steed. Well, now there's a protest about that. Apparently, there is an issue with that. And it has to do with the horse's name. This is the stretch. This is how wacky they've become. The horse's name is Traveler. General Robert E. Lee, one of his horses' name was Traveler. So now, I swear to you, I'm not lying to you. I promise you, this is how crazy they've become. As one person said, I'll read this to you. This is straight out of sportingnews.com. One of the most iconic mascots in college football, USC's Traveler. The horse isn't the mascot. The Trojan is the mascot. Traveler has come under fire from political activists who point out that it bears the same name as Confederate General Robert E. Lee's famous horse. According to the LA Times, USC students rallied last week to show support for the victims of the recent tragedy in Charlottesville. One speaker at the rally, a leader in the USC Black Students Assembly, said that white supremacy hits close to home, mentioning the name of the Trojans' mascot. The merits of the horse's name have since been debated on social media, with the majority of protesters seeming to think that the effort to connect USC's Traveler and Lee's Traveler had two L's in it. That's a huge reach. One person said, now this person, a K, I guess, on Twitter. Exactly. They're everywhere. The official mascot of USC was Robert E. Lee's most famous horse, and no one talks about it. Well, there's a reason no one talks about it, okay? Because it's got nothing to do with nothing. The horse's name was Traveler. So what? If Robert E. Lee's horse was named Traveler, different spelling completely, two L's. Well, what a reach. What a stretch. What is that? They have to find something to be outraged about. They really do. They're looking for stuff now. I don't know.
You know, if they found a live horse named Traveler, there'd be a lot of confusion there, a lot of conflict, because half of the liberals would want to put it down immediately because of the name.
Well, I think PETA ought to get involved.
And then the other part would be PETA.
Yeah.
You know,
PETA ought to protect this horse.
A liberal in PETA, how conflicted would you be?
Oh, you're having a tough day now. You cannot decide which side of the liberal spectrum you want to be on. Is it the ones that are against the horse? So I wonder if Robert E. Lee have a dog? You think a dog might have been named Spot, maybe something like that. Rover, something like that. So now
Fido.
So now all Fidos have to be put down. But that's where we are right now. That's how crazy things have gotten in this country, where this horse, which I will guarantee you, somebody had to look up that horse's name. If you didn't go to the University of Southern California, you probably had no idea that that horse's name was Traveler. No, nobody. Nobody. Let's head out to Ladson and talk to Stephanie. How are you, Stephanie?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I want to ask you a question. When these protestings go on with these college students, it's the college students that are protesting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not in class. They're missing their classes. How about you fail them for not attending the classes?
No.
So many classes and they get kicked out.
Stephanie, but that's the thing. if they miss class to go to a protest, that would be completely excused.
Oh, well.
Because that's where they're learning this stuff.
China had a good idea with Tiananmen Square then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. No, I don't think, you know, going through and killing a bunch of college students who are protesting is the right thing to do. But no, the colleges are all behind this. They're the breeding ground for what's going on out there right now.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:50, 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program today. That's 556-1250. We'd love to have you call in, weigh on any of the things that we've been talking about. Of course, we've been talking about that Robert Lee, who was removed by ESPN for being a sportscaster in the University of Virginia football games, and the fact that they are complaining about the horse out there at the University of Southern California. But right now, we have got a very special guest in with us. Now, we heard about this lady a while back where she started raising money to buy, well, she was going to try to raise money for one kid to have a bike. And then she was like, well, no, if I can do it for one kid, why can't I do it for all of these kids? And a big, big thinker here. We've got Katie Blomquist on with us. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am so glad to have you. When we talked to you several months ago, this thing, did you imagine going from that original idea of buying a kid a bike to where you are now? Did you see
it
growing like that?
No, I had no idea. I always kind of joke and say I had no idea what I was getting myself into, yeah. But in a good way. You know, no idea. I was so pleasantly surprised to see not only our local community, but mm-hmm. our national community rally together and come around this wonderful idea to get all these kids a little bit of joy.
Right. So tell us a little bit about where you started and what you're looking to do right now. Tell us a little bit about the how because I can tell it all I want to, but you're the one that did it. How did this come to be?
Well, the one little boy in my class, who he's now in third grade, which I can't even believe, but 2 years ago, we bonded and he had asked me for the bike. I decided that not just him, but so many kids in my school would benefit from the joy a bike brings. And it's not just the joy, it's the sense of ownership of something of real value. It's a sense of escape, freedom, exercise, you know, all that. But at the end of the day, it's a little bit of joy. And so I got all the kids a bike by raising over $80,000 using GoFundMe.
Right.
But once I saw how everyone had rallied around this idea, I thought, why stop here? I mean, there's so many other low-income, high-poverty elementary schools, you know, in our state, in our country. Why not try and get them all the same joy and spread that joy? So I started a nonprofit called Going Places.
Right.
I've left teaching because my passion is still with these Title I kids, but I feel like my calling now is more in the spreading of the joy, the mentor part.
Right. So wait a minute. You just said something interesting. You left teaching
to
do this?
It was a really hard choice.
I'll bet.
But, you know, I still will be around all of these kids a lot. And I'm, you know, dedicating my life all day trying to raise money to bring them the joy of a bike, a simple pleasure in life, I think every kid deserves. And there's so many wonderful programs out there that provide kids with things that they need, like food, clothing, shelter. But there's not a lot out there that provides kids with, you know, with what they deserve simply because they're kids.
Right.
And, you know, it's every kid should grow up having a bike.
Yeah. I mean, that's that real first taste of freedom that you get, you know, when the training wheels come off and you're actually out there. It's a very great experience that every kid should have. Where are we right now? You just said every kid in the nation.
Well,
is that your goal?
I would love eventually, you know, I really foresee this becoming a national nonprofit. You know, I have a hard time not living 30 years in the future.
Yeah, right.
When I'm, you know, planning these things, these events and these fundraisers. But right now, we're focused on the Charleston County School District. That's the district that I've always been connected with.
Right.
We're getting those Title I schools bikes, and then we'll move on to our other local Charleston districts like Berkeley County, Dorchester. You know, we'll move on to all those, and then we'll expand throughout the state.
So how much money have you raised so far?
Well, we just started a new campaign. We've picked our new school to receive bikes in 2018. So it'll be May 1st, 2018 will be the big bike reveal at this school. We're keeping the name of the school a secret.
Okay.
The school, you know, they know, but we want those kids to actually be genuinely surprised.
Right, right.
We also don't want to mess with the enrollment and have, you know, maybe kids enroll last minute.
I gotcha.
We have to project how many bikes we need to buy and have made. So,
sure.
We're going to keep that a secret until it gets much closer, but it is in a more rural area.
Right.
So not only, you know, are these kids living in, you know, below the poverty line, but there's just also not a ton to do anyways.
Right.
So I think a bike would give them a whole new sense of, you know, how they spend their weekends.
Now you said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll say, so sorry to answer your question. We have a goal of $45,000 that we have to get all 340 kids in that school a new bike, lock, and helmet.
You said bikes made. So you're not just going down and buying these
That's
bikes.
Right.
These are very special bikes, right?
Yep. We use a Forta bike, which is a local bike shop on Upper King Street downtown. And the owner, Danny, has been on board since day one.
Sure.
The very beginning with my initial GoFundMe campaign. And we worked together and he designed the frame, which is a non-typical childhood bike frame. So it's a really cool design. And together we picked the colors and we named them. So they'll always have our slogan on there, which is "We're going places,
right.
Want to come." And then every year they'll have a different name. So they'll always be unique. They'll always be a limited edition to whatever schools we give bikes to that year.
Okay. We're talking with Katie Blomquist from Going Places, providing bikes for low-income students throughout the Lowcountry. And pretty soon the world, Katie. Is that so? Now, Afford a Bike, they do a fantastic job. I think that's amazing what they're doing. But not only are you doing the bikes, like you just said, they're also going to get the locks and the helmets.
That's right. I would never feel right about providing kids a bike without keeping them safe and keeping the bike safe.
Yeah.
And then my nonprofit grows, as Going Places grows, we plan to implement other programs that provide other forms of typical childhood joys, like swim lessons, summer camp experiences, Halloween costumes. Though that's a little bit further down the line, but that's, like I said, I have a hard time not living in the future.
Yeah.
But we also currently provide joy for the staff members that work at these schools. We provided through Escapada Living, which is an upscale resort wear clothing line, last Teacher Appreciation Week.
Right.
Every single staff member, day porter, kitchen staff, every single person that works at Pepper Hill got to go pick out two free items of clothing. And then this Friday, we have a surprise for some teachers at a school. I'm not going to say where, because then they'll hear about it. With King of Pops, we've got another big surprise coming for
them. I love King of Pops, by the way. They're great. So did you just decide one day, hey, I'm tired of resting. I just, you know, I've had enough sleep. I don't need any more. And you just dove into this, and it sounds like you are really a go-getter, and we are very proud of you and everything that you've done. How can people get involved in this, Katie?
Well, they can go to our website. It's goingplacesnonprofit.org, and you can see all of the pictures from all of our past events, as well as you can donate there. And that will take you to our new GoFundMe page right now, which is... it's all tax deductible. You'll get a form in the mail for whatever. Every penny you donate is going to go towards this new school.
Wow.
Getting them bikes. Yeah.
That is really awesome. And I can just see by the smile on your face, this is bringing you it's probably a lot of work, but it's bringing you a lot of joy and a lot of fulfillment.
It doesn't feel like work every day.
Right,
I don't get those Sunday scaries like a lot of people
Sunday
do.
Scaries,
you know,
yes.
I wake up and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. My days fly by because it's fun working on it.
Mm-hmm. And,
doesn't feel like a job.
Do you have a staff yet? Do you got a lot of people working with you?
I have a board, but it's just me right now working on it full time.
Okay. Very full time, probably.
It is.
Very full time. All right, Katie, again, it is Going Places. Give me the website again.
It's www.goingplacesnonprofit.org.
Goingplacesnonprofit.org. It'll take you right to the GoFundMe page. You can go there, tax deductible contribution. We can get these kids bikes, locks, and helmets, and help Katie grow this program. She's been on all over the country, and she's right here in the Lowcountry, and we're very proud of her. GoingPlacesNonprofit.org.
Yes, every penny counts. Every penny is going to help bring a little bit of joy to a child that deserves it.
That sounds fantastic. Well, Katie, we are very proud of you and all the work that you've done, and we appreciate it. I know the kids out there are just thrilled to get these bikes. Goingplacesnonprofit.org. You can get there and donate. Again, it's a very worthy cause, and she's a great lady. She's doing wonderful work in the community.